friend, God had spoken to him years ago to begin 24-hour worship center. I'm feeding back here. Thanks, God. So I've just come back from 24 hours, 7 days a week, praise and worship. And you know, praising God is not just a matter of singing songs and feeling nice and relaxed. Praise is actually a weapon.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
That's two amens from the pastors. Four. Okay, two more. You don't get a weapon just to polish it and make it shiny and look good and hold it and feel how nice it is. A weapon is given to us to use. And I never came into this meeting with any plans about what to speak about. I knew that when I came into this meeting, whatever I sensed here would determine what I would speak about. Amen. Hallelujah. And when our precious pastor got up, he said that he has a word he wants to read for us. Hebrews 11. You know, I travel on many airplanes. I need a runway to take off, but I also need a runway to land. If they remove the runways after you take off, you're in trouble. That's all. He was given by the Lord today a runway for us to take off, because God wants to take us somewhere. And Hebrews 11, verse 1, as he read, now faith, in the English Bible, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith and hope are synonymous. They must go together. There's no point having faith without hope. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13, hope deferred. When hope is gone, your heart is sick. But when it comes again, it is like the tree of life. And from what our brother read today, it said in verse 3, by faith we understand. Yeah? By truth we forestall. Yeah? That's it. By faith we understand. When I was a boy at school, I was the only black boy in my classroom. And my mother and father were Christians. And they taught me the Word of God. And when I went to school, they tried to teach me something else. They had all pictures up on the wall, and those pictures started off with a monkey changing until you become a man. I think you had the same pictures in Norway. Evolution. By man's knowledge, we understand that man came from monkeys. By God's knowledge, we understand that God made man. By faith, we understand that God created. Amen. So, even though we may behave like monkeys sometimes, it doesn't mean we came from monkeys. At 9 years old, in that school, they knew that I had a speech impediment. I hope you understand the word impediment. I could not speak. You understand? When When I was a boy, I spoke like this. It took me ages to say one word. It took me ages to say one sentence. And so they used to make fun of me. And one day in that school, they said, "Tomorrow, when you come to school, Dennis, you are going to read from the Bible in front of the whole school." You understand? I was the only black boy, and it was like a joke. But I had a father. Ah, it's good to have a father. And my father, I love my dad. And he's the only person I could speak to without stammering, because my stammer came from fear. I don't know when it came into my life. I don't know what trauma I had in my life, but my whole life was gripped by fear. So when I stood in front of people, words couldn't come. But when I spoke with my father, I never thought about anything but love. So words used to just come. My father told me, "When you go to school tomorrow, do not see your teachers, do not see your friends, see your dad." He said, "When you go to school and you stand in front of the school, even if you close your eyes, you see your dad." So what I did, I memorized. Do you know they asked me to read a scripture that says, "There is one coming after me who I am not worthy to do his shoes." It was John the Baptist speaking about when Jesus come. I memorized it and I went to school. Little short trousers and brown knees. I stood in front of my whole school and they thought I was going to stutter. But when I stood in that school, there's only one person I saw. And they must have thought it was very strange, because at one point I closed my eyes while I was reading. Because when I was looking, it was very hard to see my father, because I saw everybody else. But then I closed my eyes and quickly he came before me. But I had my eyes closed, but I was still speaking and reading. And guess what happened? I never stuttered once. And when I finished, everybody was clapping, not laughing. Today, that school building is one of our buildings. Oh, yeah. Are you hearing me? Faith breaks the power of fear, and no one can worship God with fear. Let me just speak to you. It's wonderful what you're doing here. If I wasn't here tonight, I would be on the streets of London, in Trafalgar Square, or Piccadilly, picking up homeless people and praying with them on the streets. Are you hearing me? I speak to thousands of people, but God spoke to me, "If you want to stay with me and understand the power of praise, then you have to be willing to go to those on the outside and make your praise so large that I can get inside of it and get inside of you and change communities." If you come here tonight and you just want to have a time of singing songs, all you're going to do is make yourselves feel better and not make God feel so good. Because he gave to us the gift of faith. Yes, it comes first as a gift. The second thing that happens is once that gift is given to us, the next verse you see, it says, and Abel offered a better sacrifice. When God gives you the ability, the gift of faith, you cannot keep it to yourself. If you don't use it, you will lose it. Say amen. Now, that means to move in faith, you have to step out on nothing and believe something's there. When you give God from the gift of faith, you're giving back to him that which he gave you, so you have something to give to him. You can't just give him a song. It's got to be a song that's wrapped in faith. Now, so when you offer to him, the next thing that happens to your faith is just like a seed. You put a seed in the ground, that seed has to die. Has to die to external to bring forth its internal. God puts his faith inside of us. We become the covering of the seed. We have to die to ourselves. Not perform, not show off how good we are. We have to die to all that so he can come out. First thing you have to do with faith. Faith is a gift from God. And then you will find that when you die, sacrifice, get on the altar. And bring your body as a living sacrifice. Then something else happens. The next level of faith, it says, and Enoch walked with God until he was not. You will never ever fulfill God's mandate until you are willing to walk with God, until you don't exist anymore and only he exists. Right, I'm just going to show you how we get the power of praise to work. Then, the next thing you read in the next verses is that then we see in verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. So faith is not about getting miracles. Faith is not about getting things. Faith is about pleasing God. So first we get faith as a gift. Then it makes us understand things that we wouldn't understand in our natural mind. Then we come to a place and we start to sacrifice and say, Father, I want to do what you want me to do. And then you start to walk with God until you're translated and you're not. Then you come and you stop and you think, without faith it's impossible to please God. Now I'm living to please you. The next thing that happens, now you have to be like Noah. You have to do things that when you see with your natural eye, nothing seems to be happening. People start to mock you because you're not living the normal way. And God's saying, I want you to build something for something that's coming that you've never seen before. You have to persevere in your faith. Persevere in your faith. Then the next level of faith is then you come to a place where you have obedient faith. And Abraham obeyed God. You see, your muscles of faith, I haven't got many muscles, but never mind. But your muscles of faith start to grow when you start to keep going. Yes, Lord, I know you said it. I believe it. Even though I don't see the miracle, I believe what you said, Lord. I trust you. I trust you. And then you develop obedience. Then the next level of faith, and I'm going to stop here because that's where you stopped. Hallelujah. There's another level of faith. It's Sarah's faith, where she had seed inside, and after almost 90 years old, who has a baby at almost 90 years old? I have no one. But you see, God put the seed in Sarah. I have been told that every baby girl that's born is born with all her seed in her. And God knew that there was seed that was there, but it was dead. And God spoke to that seed, and it says, and he gave life to her dead seed. I'm going to say this to you right now. I used to travel as a young man with my father around the world. I saw over 5 people raised from the I used to play the Hammond organ, and I have a sister who sings like a bird. And we used to travel with my father, and they had big theaters, big auditoriums. They would bring people in, wheelchairs, everything. And my God, we used to just love it. We loved it. But we were our father's children, and we were hiding or flying on our father's wings. Remember, faith is about pleasing God. When we used to come to do music, we used to say, pray before, Father, we want to thank and praise you so much, Lord, for calling us. We want to thank you for anointing us, Lord. And we thank you tonight that when we play, oh Lord Jesus, all people are going to be delivered and set free. We want to thank you for the power of God. Oh, with la 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 la. One day in The Hague, Holland, my father told me and my sister Jenny, tonight your days of flying on my wings are over. Say amen, somebody. Amen. He told us, I am going to a little church, and the two of you are going to take the meeting in the theater. Yoi! All advertised in the newspapers in Holland, bring the sick, bring, listen to me, it was the day I learned to pray. When you have to turn up with the goods, when you have to produce the power that goes with your praise, you will learn how to pray. The gospel came to Europe. When it first came to Europe, do you know where the first praise breakthrough came? In a prison. When Paul and Silas was at midnight, and they were chained together, and they began to sing praise, and the whole jail began to shake, and a suicidal prison officer was about to kill himself, and they said, don't do yourself no harm. We are here. We're not going anywhere. We will break the walls down. We'll open the prison doors, but we're not running anywhere. That jailer realized they had more authority in the prison than the magistrates and his bosses, and that jailer, that day, he and all his house got saved. That's how the gospel came to Europe. Now, check this out. My dad said, you're going to that meeting. And my sister and I realized we need to pray. I held my sister's hand, and we started to pray. We started off praying together. I'm the older brother. And then I started praying. And when I started praying, my sister was with me. But then I realized after a while, I was praying by myself. My sister was like, became ice cold with the shock of the things I was confessing. I knew all things started to come into my mind that I had done wrong that I never thought about before. And I was holding her hands and I was confessing. Then I opened my eyes and I saw my sister looking at me like this. Listen to me. You can't praise God. You cannot praise God. God has to come into you and praise himself. You can't praise God with your talent. You can't praise God with your gift. God has to come upon your talent. God has to come upon your gift. God himself has to come. For the Bible says he must inhabit your praise. He must get into your praise. I was about 19 years old. And let me tell you something. Even though my sister was shocked, I wasn't telling heaven anything it didn't know. knows everything about us. We can look good in front of people, but God knows everything. Let me tell you what happened. I went into that theater. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I went to the organ. It was packed downstairs and upstairs. When I saw the people, I was so afraid. I went to the organ, and my sister and I could not remember not one fancy gospel song. We couldn't remember anything. All I could do was press the key of D, and suddenly I looked at my sister and she began to sing, "He touched me. He touched me." And all the joy that fills my soul. My sister was not singing for the people. My sister was now singing by faith. When she said, "He touched me," she was seeing those things that were not as though they were. She knew she needed a touch from God. And when she said, "He touched me," I looked up and there was big chandeliers in the theater. And I saw my sister's eyes with tears. Her eyes looked like diamonds. And she was looking up to the heavens and saying, "He touched me." What she was saying is, "He touched me," but what she was saying, "God touched me." You understand? Like it said here, you see those things are not as though they are. And as my sister was singing and I was just playing simple music, suddenly we heard a scream. And a woman in Holland had a massive tumor on her stomach, under her breast. And she began to scream because the massive tumor in front of everybody began to move and move until it disappeared. That was the first time we saw the miraculous power come from our weakness. And miracles took place. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It changed our life forever. I don't need a crowd to praise God. I need God to praise God. You cannot praise God. You cannot praise God by sitting just listening. Yeah, that's a problem. Then suddenly, share good. Can't share to come. Can't share to come. Now, anyone who praises God must not be a spectator, but a participator. That woman came forward. There was no need to preach. I couldn't preach. Jenny couldn't preach. But when God comes in, you don't need anything else because wildfire, miracle after miracle, and we just disappeared and was just thanking God for showing up. Are you hearing me? I'm here to encourage you all. What I heard tonight is so special. It's so real. It's so tangible. But if our communities are going to be changed, God must come in our place. Young people, God is going to get into your place. There's a psalm. It's Psalms 34. It is David saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." Not on a Friday night, not just on a Sunday morning, continually, 24/7, even when trouble's going bad, even when things are going difficult, your praise will continually be in my mouth. I never knew that I would preach this thing and then end up having to live through that experience. Let me tell you something. One of the hardest times for me to praise God, but I saw my wife do it, is when we watched our child die. And while they were taking our baby boy, my wife, with a broken heart, was watched as some woman, a nurse, turned to my wife with our child dying and said to her, "What kind of woman are you that you can be thanking God even in this situation?" And she told that nurse, "My situation may change, but my God is still the same." And that nurse said, "I want that Jesus." Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I didn't come to Savannah just to see a few people. I came here to encourage you. I was just speaking to a few thousand people just the other day. I don't need to look for crowds. I'm looking for Jesus. Are you hearing me? But I want you to stay to understand this tonight. That David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." And how could he say that? Where was he when he said that? He said, "I'll make my boast in the Lord. Many shall hear it and rejoice." When David said that, do you know where he was? He was in the cave of Adullam. Are you hearing me? David had become tired. How many know about David? David was a worshipper. Whenever I think in the Bible about a worshipper, I think straight away of David. David was a worshipper. David loved God, and God said that David is a man after my own heart. You understand? But David would be out in the field. David had bear and lion and all kind of adversaries come. But David worshipped God so much that he saw God bigger than any enemy. Your worship of God and your praise of God will bring you clear perspective of who God is. And then you see, but David was being haunted and hunted all the time, even though he was anointed to be the next king. It took 20 years of his life. He was running all the time from Saul. Saul speaks of the flesh. Are you hearing me? When you get born again and get saved, your greatest enemy is not the devil, it's your flesh. Your flesh will always run you down. David came to a place, and let me just try to wind up so you can continue praising. He came to a place that the king of Achish, he was running from Saul, and he came to one of the priests. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 2, I think 20, 21. He comes to a place, and then when he gets there, he comes to the priest and he said, "Have you got a sword?" And the priest said, "Yes, we have a sword. It's the sword of Goliath." Now, you know, in some school we hear about David defeating Goliath. David's on the run from his enemy. He comes to a place and the priest takes the effort and gives him the sword. Now he's got the sword. You know, the sword was so big you can't hide it. It was so big you can't hide it. You understand? Is the sword of the giant. Your testimony when you get saved, it's so big you can't hide it. Are you hearing? But sometimes you want to hide it because you're afraid of what people think. But you can't deny who you are. Peter tried to deny, "I don't know him. Oh, don't know." Oh yes, you were with him. No, you've got the wrong person. No. Your speech. When Jesus comes into your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, your sound of your voice changes. And even if you want to go back in the world knows who you are. David took this sword and he goes down, and all of a sudden, when he comes to the king of Achish, he fears his life. Too many of us cannot praise God the way we should, because we're so concerned about what people think. That sucked. So we come to church, and we want to lift our hand, but people think that it's a problem to raise our hands, but yet still people tell me, oh, you know, Norwegians, we're not like the black people, we are more reserved. Let me tell you, I watch Norwegian fans at the football match. They are worse than black people. One ball goes in and they forget their Norwegian. Rubbish. Stop telling yourself nonsense. You're not Norwegian first. You're born again first. Amen. And so, when David gets down there, he forgets. He forgets. Oh God, will you help us to remember? He forgets. And when the king of Achish hears about David, David begins to act like a madman. Spit all over his beard. And the king says, is this the man that they sing about? Is this the David they sing about, who slew the thousands? The king said, just get this madman away. David, he feared, dear God, I wouldn't, if your praise is going to be what God wants to be, you have to break the spirit of fear. Are you hearing? Dear Lord, it says here that David came down, and when he came down, he was afraid of the king of Achish. And this is what really gets me, because it's so strange, because in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and 22, when he comes down and he's before the king, do you know where he is? Guess where he is? He's got this big sword, remember? The evidence, the monument of his victory over his greatest enemy, Goliath. He took his head off. He's got this sword reminding him of how God caused him to conquer his enemy. So even if he can't see God, he still could see the sword, and he fears a man and starts to act like a fool. And he's, guess where he is? He's right in Gath. He's right in the very place where Goliath came down. He's not only got Goliath's sword, God let this happen, it could happen anywhere else. He's right in the very place where Goliath fell down. And yet still, because his mind is not on God, he loses his praise, he loses power, and fear grips him. Are you hearing me? And he's running away from a man, acting crazy. Listen to me. Only someone who is sane can act crazy. A crazy person cannot act crazy. They are crazy. Do you understand? You understand? They can't act that. They are that. Oh. My desire is to stop seeing God's worshippers acting crazy. You're not crazy. You were born for such time as this. Are you hearing me? You were born for such a time as this. And praise is powerful. And then, of course, David leaves from Gath and comes to the cave of Adullam, and he's sitting in the cave and he begins to think, oh God, what have I done? What have I done? I've got this sword, the evidence of the one that you helped me to slay. I was in the place of my greatest victory. And God, I took my eyes off of you and I looked at a man. you caused me to bring a giant down in that place. And Lord, I fell down just because of a man. And David sits down and thinks about what he did. And then he says this: from this day forward, I'm making my mind up. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm never going to let his praise leave my lips again. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. He goes on in verse 4 and he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And when you leave from chapter 20 and go to chapter 21, you see the most incredible thing happen. He's in the cave of Adullam. He says that, and all of a sudden, once David makes up from this point, praise is going to be a regular thing, not a thing that I do periodically. It's going to be a regular. David says, it says there in the Bible, from that moment, you will read the first two verses of chapter 21 of 1 Samuel. From the moment David said, I will bless the Lord always, suddenly, it says, and David's family heard that he was in the cave of Adullam, and his whole family came down to him. When you start to praise, you will be raised. If you complain, you will remain. His whole family came down. After his family came down, guess what happened? 400 people came down. All those in debt, all those in distress, and all those in discontent. They all came down to that cave. And they all became the army of David, mighty men of God. What was a cave became a cathedral. I learned that principle through praise. And that principle has changed not just my life, but many thousands of people's lives, by understanding that when you make your mind up to bless the Lord at all times, you'll open your life for God to be in your life 24/7. Let me tell you now, as I'm always closing. You see, before I couldn't speak, now I can't stop speaking. I love Jesus. I really love Jesus. About 3 weeks ago, I was in church. I just came off the airplane coming down from the United States of America. At 10 o'clock, my plane came down, and at 10 o'clock, my elder died. So while I was coming down, he was going up. I got off the plane to get the news that he had died. I'd just done his funeral yesterday. I got to church. When I got to church, we were in a prayer meeting. Lots of people come to our prayer meeting. I was in the prayer meeting, and a lady in our church who I led to the Lord several years ago, her mother was going into an operation for a heart bypass. And when they opened her up while we were in church, suddenly she had a massive heart attack in the operation. And the doctor surgeon had just put his hand inside and grabbed her heart. So while we were in the prayer meeting, praying and praising, her heart, when she had a heart attack, was in the doctor's hand. She died. She died, and she was dead for 4 minutes. The man, the doctor, was pumping her heart, trying to bring her back to life. Why? We didn't know this until after. While we're praying, God, bring her through, we didn't realize that her heart was in his hand. After 4 minutes, she came back to life. They say, if maximum 5 minutes, you're finished. Your brain, oxygen. But what happened was, the trauma was so much, they had to put her into a coma. They put her into a coma for 4 days we're praying. Meeting in the mornings, we're praying. Because now we can't get her out of the coma. And they're saying that if they bring her out of the coma, she's probably not going to be normal. 6 days, 7 days, 8 days. The daughter of the lady, and I'm cutting the story short, knew that I'd go out on the streets on a Friday night, and she asked her and her husband, can we join you? Her mother is in a coma in hospital, but she wants to go and look for the lost souls because her mother had given her life to the Lord. She's out on the streets with me, and I'm standing up on a wall like this, and suddenly a man walks up to me and asks me the time. That man was a Muslim. He's now living with us. That was 3 weeks ago. He just asked the time. I never told him anything about Jesus. I just asked him, how are you doing? And listen to me. 4 people from our church was there, right at Trouble Square. I can't go into heaven at the time. I want to talk about praising God. That man, who was a Muslim, grabbed me and squeezed me and wouldn't let go and told me, tonight I plan to commit suicide. He's living with us now. You see, it's about praising God. That next morning, after that man, who was a Muslim, end up in England, end up meeting the love of God. And this is now 3 weeks later. He's with me now. Are you hearing me? Guess what happened? The next morning, my phone rang. How sick I love Jesus. While that woman was out in the streets with me and her husband and doing God's work, by praising God, by moving in faith, the next morning, the woman rang me. Pastor, Pastor, she's crying. Guess what she's saying? His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. What is that pronounced?
Has not the love for
that. What she said? I said, yes, I know, I know, I know. But what do you mean? She said,
has not the love for that.
I said, yes, I know, I know. And she said,
that's not the bar, eh?
I said, yes, I know, but
that's not the bar, eh?
That's all she kept saying, crying, crying, crying. I said, is your mom back? She said, yes! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There's got to be purpose behind our praise. So when you come and start singing songs like, Lord, your kingdom come. I love it. Where's the girl that was singing that? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. When you sing, your kingdom come. Don't think about the people. You sing. God's giving you a voice. You sing that your kingdom come. And see when you're singing. See people being saved. See people getting set free. See. You will see it happen. Are you hearing me? When you sing, do not sing to entertain. Those in the crowd, when you come, you start to worship God. Don't come for a good feeling. Come to see God transform and change lives. Demonstrate that. I tell people in our church, you have a very nice church here. Very nice church. Very nice. I can swoop with you if you want. Listen to me very carefully. David was in a cave when he said, I will bless the Lord. He was not in a lovely place, but he turned the cave into a cathedral. And you need to understand, we're not here to be comfortable. We're here to glorify God. And when you think about this, think about it all the time. Every day, every week, I am seeing people come to the Lord, and I'm not even doing anything because I can't do anything myself. I can do nothing by myself, but I understand the power of praise. When you start thanking God and magnifying God inside of you, God gets inside of you, and you'll start doing things that you don't even know you're doing. And they will come to the Lord. Are you hearing? So we have to say, Father God, help me, help me, help me, help me. My sister just took 60 people to Paphos. In Cyprus, just months ago, and my sister just released a new CD of praise. She wrote all the songs. I wrote one of the songs, and her son wrote two of the songs, and she wrote all the rest of the song. New CD. And we saw hundreds of people coming on the streets in Paphos. Hundreds coming getting saved just by the singing, the praise, hitting people, the bars. They would turn their music off. We were on the streets, saw God just doing incredible things. Just in the power of praise. Guess what happened? After that wonderful experience, I nearly lost my sister. My sister came home, and she was in bed with her husband. And suddenly when she woke up, she knew nobody. She did not know her husband. She didn't know her son. She didn't know her daughter. She was rushed to hospital. Are you hearing me? She knew no one. The doctors couldn't explain. Memory erased. Called the church, and I told the church, I am not going to tell you the situation my family is facing right now, because I don't want any of you to carry any negative news. But what I'm going to tell you is, there are hundreds of you, and we have prayed and carried you. I want you right now to stand with me, and I want you to release praise, because I need God to touch my sister. And our church got up and roared like a lion. Roared like a lion. Praise. They knew that from my heart, they knew something was seriously wrong. And as they began to roar like a lion, suddenly in the hospital, my sister came back to herself. No one has to convince me about the power of praise. I will bless the Lord at all times in His praise. And I had to learn what praise really is in negative situations. I stand in Parliament. I stand in the highest places in England. I will be standing in 2 days' time on Tuesday before 6,000 people in the Albert Hall in England, and telling them God's purpose for Israel after 100 years, centenary of Balfour. But I plan to be with you tonight because I love this man. You hear me? And I love the vision you have here. And I'm telling you right now, don't waste one more moment of your life playing praise. When you hold in your hand the power of change. Can I close one more time?
Oh, I love you.
The first attack, terrorist attack we had in England, I had an appointment to take. And I heard God say to me, cancel your appointments and go away to a prayer center and seek my face. Before I did this, I was on my way to Parliament. And on the way to Parliament, I was going to Parliament, and suddenly a policeman, fully armed with a machine gun, he stopped me. If you come from the background I come from, as a black boy in England, when you were younger, if you got stopped by a policeman, the fear that gripped your life, because you know that you could be taken to the police station and abused and beaten. And so, when the police stopped me, I'm a big grown man now, and I'm meant to be an anointed man of God. But when this policeman stopped me with this machine gun, he stared right in my eyes, just down the road from Parliament. And he just stared at me. And so I just stared back at him. And he just looked at me. And I just looked at him. And we were standing, it seemed like forever, looking into each other's eyes. And he was really serious. He had his machine gun. And then he said, he smiled. He just smiled. And then he said these words to me. An English policeman, fully armed, just down the row from Harlem, he said to me, "Have you ever seen the film War Room?" Can you imagine? Instantly, my stuttering came back. I was so shocked I had to meet another minister in Parliament. When I got down to Parliament, I was shaking. He said, "What's wrong with this?" And I told him what happened. He said, "What?" He's an old Englishman, 85 years old. I told him, I went straight from Parliament, I went to our church, the prayer meeting, and I told him what happened, and we started to pray for police. Now, I was meant to take an appointment somewhere, and God said, "Don't go, go away to the countryside, and go and stay there for 2 days and seek my face in prayer." I took 3 other people from the church with me. We went. When I got there, we were there Monday, Tuesday. On Tuesday afternoon, I was sitting at the piano playing worship. They were singing. And then there was a cross like this. And on the top of it had a crown of thorns on it in this room. And I went there and was sitting around, just sitting around like this, wondering what to pray. And suddenly I said, "Lord, what is it you want to tell us?" Something totally unusual happened to me. Suddenly, just like that, I saw a terrorist attack coming to London and people being killed. And I fell on the ground and I could not stop the pain I felt. And I was crying so deeply that the other 3 people, they didn't know what I saw. They were weeping because I was weeping. If one member suffers, the whole body suffers. Guess what happened? Then when I start to cry out and pray Psalms 91, it start to come out. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." First, it was a prayer of sorrow, but then victory started to come. "Father, you will keep, you will preserve. I come against every terrorist." 23 hours later, that man came in that car, hit people on the bridge, and that man ran to Parliament. And that man ran through the gate of Parliament, and one policeman got stabbed and killed. And that policeman got stabbed and killed just meters away from when the police told me, "Please pray for us." There's over 60 million people in our nation, and my neighbor, our policeman, and my neighbor first was like, when he first met me, he was a very proud, arrogant English policeman. Now he's like, he does anything for me. He's not truly born again yet. I came home and I told him about the policeman who I met. I then told him about, of course, the terrorism. And I said, "Isn't it amazing? One policeman got killed." And he said to me, "Dennis, let me tell you something. That's got to be God." He said, "Dennis, because the one policeman who got killed was my wife's ex-boyfriend." Can you understand? My neighbor, out of 60 million people, the connection, the policeman that asked me if I saw War Room was meters away from where one person got killed and many could have got killed. And then my neighbor, who is a policeman, you understand? His wife is a policewoman, and his wife's ex-boyfriend was the policeman who got killed. I mean, I'm either thick, or God is actually doing things in details. And I can keep you here all night. Trigger, he can tell you, I was telling you story after story today, of detailed things that happened. And it happened because the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And want to tell you something right now. Over your community, if you really begin to praise God, God will start to reveal things to you. You can walk up to people and you can tell them this is going to happen or this is happening, and they will know. Only God can know that. You have to have a desire. Praise is not about singing songs. Praise is about bringing God into your environment. The revelation of knowledge of God has to be released. And that's what I'm here to tell you right now. The revelation of knowledge is being released in schools, in colleges, in parliament. I called for a prayer meeting. God told me to put it on the 8th of September with two other leaders, and I don't know why it was the 8th of September. It was not until we planned it that in central London, and after we planned the date, it was the 8th of September, and I didn't realize exactly 70 years before, to the very day, King George called a National Day of Prayer. One of the biggest evangelists that we have in Europe. He was with me, and he said, Dennis, if we can get 300 people just in Westminster to pray, I said, don't be silly. I'm not looking for 300 people. This place must be packed out. To cut a long story short, on the day, 1,600 people turned up to our prayer meeting. It started at 11 o'clock, finished at 8 o'clock at night, and over 100 churches throughout the United Kingdom joined us. Right around, it took us about 6 weeks, and we didn't advertise anything, just told people, God said. Are you hearing me? Why am I sharing all these things? Because we have too many spectators, and Norway is a country gripped by Kanskje. Let me tell you, this black man that you see standing before you would not be here if it wasn't for a Norwegian woman who got on a boat and no one sent her. But while she was praising God, God showed her black children under trees in the Caribbean that had no parents. She took a boat and traveled for weeks and went to Norway. And my mother was a 10-year-old girl whose mother and father was not there. And she took my mother with some other children and took them under a tree and began to share Jesus. Between our family now, we have reached over 80 nations with the gospel. I had no mother and father, but at 10 years old, she received the gospel from Norway and learned how to praise. My mom could not play an instrument, but my mother sings. And whenever we as children got sick or anything happened, my mother never called the doctor. She would sing over us and we would be healed. So don't ever try to tell me about the power of praise. Power of praise. You will never, ever be able to praise God if you don't start at home. You see, I'm always closing, but this is the final thing. You don't come to church because I see it too much in Norway. The band or whatever, the worshippers, they're up there and they're going. And Norway is one country that I never understand, because the people sit like this when praise is going on. Dear God, that's not what happens. The praise team is the team that parts the water, so you walk with them. You understand? Understand? When you come to praise, you don't come to theater, you come to participate.
Amen.
What would happen when God told Joshua, walk around the wall 6 days, and on the seventh day get the people to praise and the walls will come down? What would happen? unity come down when everybody praises. With thanksgiving.
Amen.
And I come into your court of praise. I'm about to make this my sister church in Norway. Are you hearing? I have some plans to come here in Norica. But I'm not coming if you're not going to praise the Lord. That's the condition. If I come here, hallelujah. We want to see the dead raised. Right? We want. No, I'm serious. Because there's something, when I came tonight, there's something that's really, you really blessed me all about. When I came here tonight, you know, I was here, and I have to be honest, I've slept about 3 hours in the last probably 48 hours. And I was here, and all of a sudden, I was here, and I said, like, oh, dear God. Oh, what am I going to do? Jesus. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice say, listen to me, you need to help these people. I help you, you help them. And I just went to the back there, shook that thing off, and began to go into what I know power and praise can do. You understand? And I felt this thing start to go higher and higher tonight. Did you feel it? It started to go up and up and up. Listen to me. Right. Can we work together on this? Yeah? This place is going to become a powerhouse. Yes, I come to declare that. If I have to go home and bring 100 people, I will bring them here. Yes, we're no better than you. You're more talented in some areas, but we will come here and we will come with you. And we will do it with you. We're not going to come to teach you because we need teaching ourselves. We don't know how to do it. Do you understand? All we know is he does it. We have no remedy to tell you, or, well, we're so anointed, rubbish. All we know is that when we bring our nothingness, he brings everything. And so I love you tonight. And the reason I spoke so long is because oh, can I pray with you? I want to pray with you, beautiful people. Let's stand to your feet right now. Where's your team? You coming? I've probably gone over time. I've talked too long, but never mind. Hallelujah. You've got the day off tomorrow. How many here would really like to say, Father God, I want you to ignite my fire? How many here say, Lord, I want to have an Adlon, cave Adlon experience? Raise your hands right now. You didn't choose him, he chose you. Get your hands right up right now. Hallelujah. I just know that you're in a new phase. You're in a new place. You really are. Something's happening all over the world. When I say raise your hands, it's not because I wanted just to raise your hands. It's an act of surrender. And Paul said, I wish that men and women everywhere would raise holy hands. When you raise your hands, you're saying, Father God, I'm opening myself to you. Whatever song comes in your heart, whatever comes in your heart right now, we're going to keep our hands raised right now. We're going to say, here's our cup, Lord, to fill it up. Father, right now, in the name that's above every name, I raise my hands to. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. Father, I want to thank and praise you that, Lord God, you're reminding us tonight of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, we've asked you to forgive us right now. We ask you to forgive us right now, Lord Jesus. For becoming complacent. You haven't come to condemn us. You haven't come to make us feel guilty. You're with us right now. I want to thank and praise you, Father, for every family right now that's receiving healing. As we raise our hands, we're saying, Father God, you are going to bring life and healing right now. I want you to lift your voice. Come on. No, just lift your voice and start to thank the Lord. Don't wait for Dennis. You've got to do it. I can't do it for you. Lift your voice and begin to thank the Lord right now. Just the young people, all the people, start to thank the Lord because he is worthy.
Thank you.
Vi vil fortsette å prise ham. Uansett hvor det vi har. Hvor er det vi har lært igjen? Vi priser Jesus uansett. Halleluja. Tusen takk til Dennis. Gjerne en liten applaus. Takk til lovsangerne. Yes. Og takk til Jesus. Amen. Hvis du har lengst opp på ditt grens, så er det noen kake og kaffe. Kaffe og noe å drikke oppe i kaffeteria. Dennis vil være med oss på søndag.
Tar du på iMac?